group of people, everybody helped out.
There was blackouts, weren't there? I can remember blacking out for the hood.
Yeah, because they thought it was an invasion, and that's the first sub decided off the plastic. And of course, that was scary. Well, the fireman's dance was canceled.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because of the blackout.
Uh huh. What year was that, Clayton?
That'd be 41.
Like 42, probably.
Yeah, 42. 42 was when they'd gotten over here and they were starting to send the balloons over here. But people were very cooperative. There was no instances of any problems as far as getting involved with the aliens being.
Were most things canceled during the war? Like the ball games, were they canceled?
Oh yeah, because the fellows went there.
But the fireman's ball?
Yeah, they always have it.
They didn't have it except that one year?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now what things were rationed? I can remember gas and coffee and sugar.
Yeah. And I think that's about it. Okay.
Shoes.
Shoes?
Oh yeah.
Hmm.
And the reason that Clayton was me. I don't know, because we had our own. Clayton had sinus so bad, and then your legs were, they're close things. Mm. But he'd been working down and all that, you know, weeding onions and doing all that on his hands and knees. Mm. And for years, until you went up to the county, wasn't it? You had sinus problems.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. And then when he got up off the ground and doing things, they finally cleared up.
You haven't had your sinuses cleared. You haven't lived.
I guess that's really funny.
Oh. Especially the second time.
Oh,
trying to find the same hole.
Well, I don't think they
drag you up there to the doctor's office.
They don't.
But the thing is, that once it's out, you don't touch the stairs or the street. You're about that high off, you don't feel so good.
Well, they don't do it that way anymore.
No.
I know.
No.
That was quite something. That was tough. But of course, everybody helped each other. There was no demands on being paid. You'd help. You'd have things happen. Of course, the boys would send home friends of theirs and come visit, so you have entertained. You take them off, whatever was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them are crazy. And played. And of course, they were under stress, and they come out of Aleutians and various places. So I was here, and I'd be the one that sent them, and we beat it, and got out and got around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned the blackout. Yes, we had. As I remember, we had the pull-down shades, and they were a dark green.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me that all the shades at that time used to be green. Is that right?
That sounds right.
And we had those shades, and yes, we pulled those down, and you were not allowed to, your only lights you could use after, I suppose, sundown were Parkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to the coast.
Yeah,
and
the cars?
Yes. I remember going to the coast, and we got down there kind of late, and we were trying to find a place to stay, and it's pretty hard when you don't have any lights.
And they don't have their lights on either.
there were no lights.
Yeah.
Yes, everything
was
dark.
You really have to look to see a car.
I think it's an example. We do so much at night now that we didn't used to do. We live more according to the sun, I think, in the old days.
One of the things is when they were flying the mail on this line here, they had the cities painted on the roof of a building so that they know where they were. So the big barn had 12 of them on it.
Oh, really?
Gosh.
I planned to do that for my
block. Now, who came out and painted the 12
of them? And they painted it on there. And so then they wanted us to take it off. And finally, they had to threaten us.
Really?
And I think, I don't know who painted it out. Somebody painted it out.
Huh. Why didn't they want you to take it out?
Yeah.
Because of the Japanese flying it. should have an invasion. Dr. Fred and Steve, he can fill you in on the water thing.
Fred Duffel?
Yeah.
We'll be talking to them, by the way, next week.
But all the fire department, of course, it was a leader in the community. One evening, got a call and wanted to come into the fire station immediately. We went in and they explained to us there was something that was going on in the community that we wanted to find out what was happening and we participate. So, sure, I'll stand guard. I'm going to have to stand a duty during the night time. So you're going to have these alternating days of once out of three. And the first night out, we had no idea what we were looking for. But we took off and William was driving the car. And we headed down the highway.
What did they tell you to look for?
Lights in the
sky. Oh, I see. Oh, in the sky.
Yeah, that there was something going on and it was out of the ordinary.
I see.
So we took off and we went up Boone Ferry and we got up there and Ben Andrews pulled in to his house and William swung in behind him and then we know what was going on and we said, well, we got this, request to come in and stand duty to watch and see what was going on. And so we were talking and all of a sudden there was a big flash toward Orion City, just like a beacon. And it shook us a little bit and we went back to the fire station and to report what was going on. And the deputy sheriff in Clackamas County, it was on Radium Road at the same time. And he was shocked by the same flash, and it was toward Sherwood.
Hmm. Could you tell where it's coming from?
Well,
no,
it would be just a beacon, just something hooked on, it's just like a searchlight that shines a cone up in the air. So we started comparing notes, well, here it is between the two, between 65th and Boone Ferry. So, I get chills to think about, you know, that whole series of events. Leave out a lot of it, but we saw time and time again this happening. One night Fred decided it was five, I think Fred might have been with us that night, but we were on Ellickson Road. And it was, we were just sitting there talking, and I think there were two outside the car, three in. And it was, they were packing guns, we were so concerned at that time. And that was the biggest display you ever saw, right to the north of us.
What? A display of light?
Yeah, just big, just like a great big searchlight.
Hmm.
So we kind of stood there, and pretty soon here comes a guy walking down there, wanted to know what we were doing there. Well, he said we just packed it. And we got out of there, and the FBI later told us it was a good thing that we did, because we didn't know what they would do, you know. So we saw several. One was over on 150. They went over in there. There were some lights over in the area over on Beat Them North.
Mm.
One night there were I don't know how many FBI people were here in this fire hall.
Hmm.
And all the time they were here, nothing happened. Everything was black. They took them out, they staked the whole place out.
Hmm.
Nothing, absolutely nothing. And I guess I stayed on that night, but all of a sudden the sky lit up. And I called the Uncle Bill up and said, you better get over here. I said, things are breaking loose. And I said, you better.
Because these other fellows had left.
Yeah, all of them left. Everybody went home. And boy, I tell you, here comes these FBI people or these security people in there and said, boy, better get the chief over here. So I called him up. He said, I'm glad to go back to sleep. He said, and I said, well, so then I called him up and I said, this happened. And when the federal people, whoever they were, came in, said, get him here. So I called him up and said, they said, get here, come in with your lights out. So he came over, and when he came across the railroad track down below, and when he turned on the railroad track, or turned in by the church into that building, there was the biggest flash, but right straight up the railroad track. No one could figure out where it came from, and everything shut off. There was no more lights that night. There was nothing anymore. There was no jamming. Supposedly been some jamming of the communication. And the next morning, on radio, it mentioned over the radio that there was something happened, and almost lost the commentators, almost got him fired. But then it wasn't 2 or 3 days later when they put in triangulation to find out where those were coming from. Mm-hmm. And then in the triangulation they were able to pinpoint the locations of some of those. And that's then there was no after that that they moved out.
Oh, what? I
just
see all that question marks in my mind. What? They pinpointed it as being this Charlton area.
No, it's all over the area. We were just the ones that were. Oh. That they began to then triangulate, and then when they investigated, they found out that things were going on.
Well, how wide an area were they going on?
I wouldn't have put it off the coast, I guess.
Uh-huh. I see.
That night, that sky was crisscrossed.
I see.
Yeah, it was.
Now, when you were up on Ellison Road, and you said somebody came by and asked what you were doing, you didn't recognize the person, or
no.
Strange person?
And of course, the people that were dealing with it said not to get off the road because they would have high voltage lines, you'd have to get killed. So we stayed right on the road. We never got out.
So what would have been the source of the light?
They were usually in where there were high lines.
Did tap into the electric power somehow?
Yeah.
Well, there were known ones at Hillsboro, out of Hillsboro. They had them in wells, and I think that was Gaston and Yamhill up in that area. They found, and these were, the thinking up there was that they were German people up there.
Of course, over here on the dairy over here on the corner, that was supposed to have a radio transmitter on the ground there.
Mm.
Because they would fly this area trying to catch them, because they would hedgehog and try to find the transmitters in the well.
Mm.
But there was no...
And this is right after Pearl Harbor would have been, or do you remember the
year? No, we started before Pearl Harbor.
Really?
It was ahead of it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure it was before.
I doubt that.
I don't know the time. I think it was October.
I see.
And then I went down to college, and when we were down there, and I had a big freeze, and it blacked out down there, so that was in...
You went down in January.
January, first of January.
Of what year?
41.
41, yeah.
I see, I won a scholarship
In 4-H, she had won a college.
For college, and I just got the one term, the winter term. Then I had to come back, walled. But down there, they had that big fire in that National Guard on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something to see, and everything was blacked out. And
was any of this ever reported, like in the Oregonian?
Nothing, nowhere. I did it once at the annual conference at Salem. I told them I was the only one who spoke up against it. They came over and talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what kind of repercussions that might come from it. But there was Uncle Bill, William, most of the firemen. I wouldn't be this surprised if Dad were involved too.
Mm-hmm. So what was your theory on that? Or
well, evidently it had to do with the Japanese, and they
signaled
and moved them out.
Signaling, and that's why they would have moved them.
They were afraid, you know, that they were going to show have lights right straight in.
Hmm.
They found, too, that there were areas where farmers had to go out and disc up their fields, too, because they found that there were mustard fields that were lined up as a target right into the equipment.
Mustard, what do you mean?
Mustard, well, yeah.
Planted so that there were arrows in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who could have planted those without the farmers knowing that they were planted?
They did. They planted them themselves.
Area farmers?
Yeah.
Japanese farmers.
Well, whatever. Whether it be Japanese, German, Swede, or whatever, who knows?
Planted for the wine up to the airport, you say?
Well, or they have fields that
fall
right in.
To what? To the airport or
yeah.
to the port?
And you see, they were afraid of them coming in off the ocean.
Yeah. That
and
was
they came off
the coast
if they understood what they were doing with the balloons. But down in the city.
Started the whole.
No, I'm sure it was before. Huh. But they evidently found this happening and they couldn't figure out what it was. And they wanted to find out.
Hmm. I don't know. When did they move the Japanese families to Eastern Oregon or where it was? So that was.
That was right after the 1842, I think. Okay. That was right away. I don't know. You'd have to research that.
Yeah, I remember one family in Sherwood High School. I can't remember what year that would have been. 42 or 43.
Well, see, it was like December 42. Well, December 41 when the war started. So, what, you were in school there at the time?
Yeah. I was there from 48 to 43. And I remember this one Japanese family. I don't remember the, there were several
Japanese. Where was that?
At Sherwood.
Yeah.
And one of them had a nice little going away party for the, you know, and that's thinking. Well, you know, what an awful thing, what they were going to, but that was in a case I remember specifically. But the families here, the Sasakis were moved, right, relocated, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There were two other, there was the Okazakis,
Iwasakis are up at Hillsboro.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at the as secretary of high school at the time, and I had one Japanese girl. I had a girl help me every period. They'd go around and collect the slips for the absent ones. And I had one Japanese girl that was working for me, and you know, the principal said, you have to get me out of the office.
Hmm.
I didn't, you know, you wouldn't think there'd be anything that would be that.
Yeah.
But she had to quit working in the office.
Hmm.
But the important thing on this, and of course, Fred, the mother, so her grandmother was awakened by the light. She knew something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Who was her grand? Who was his grandmother?
Dolphin.
Yeah.
I can remember. I don't know what she looked like.
Well, that's probably, should you just turn that off, you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that is, I was just wondering if there are any things we haven't covered, any just like little anecdotes. I'd just like to collect those of memories of, you know, near accidents on the farm or, oh well, and how you, not that you had much time, but childhood memories. I remember Herb used to come down, you'd go swimming in the water in the quarry. Or in the river or boat.
Yeah.
We had a, there was a park back by the river, mm-hmm. right where the freeway bridge is.
Oh, there was?
And there was a shower. When they were working down in the onion fields and that, mm-hmm. why, did you went in at noontime even, didn't
yeah.
you? I went swimming.
Sometimes, two or three times a day.
Just
go down and cool off
mm-hmm.
and before a meal.
Uh-huh.
And go back in there.
The schedule was that Clayton would work the ground or plant or cultivate during the day. And this, and then And there would be the ones, this was like doing the lettuce. And then the boys that would hire, would be hired, would go through and cut the middle out so that there was no, I guess Pop did that. So yeah. Cut the middle out. And so that they, to, because they would use seed would be all the way along, and then just so that they'd be, and then the boys would go along, and they were supposed to leave only one plant to replace. Mm-hmm. And so that would happen until 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock then was supper time. Mm-hmm. And then after 5 o'clock we would go out and cut the lettuce. Mm-hmm. So it would be cut and packed, and then and loaded on the truck and then delivered so that it would be to Early Market like 3 a.m. Mm-hmm.
So you took it to Early Market?
No. I didn't hand back yet.
Oh.
And
oh.
I'd
and sometimes he'd have to reload that load because he took in for other people.
I cut in the morning many times too.
Hmm. Ernie Heimbach being Mr. Heimbach's son.
No, Heimbach over on the way to Tiger.
Oh, okay.
Off of Hall,
yeah.
There's that drive. Kathleen is still there. Mm-hmm. And many times, well, yes, it would be, we'd be there, what, till 10 o'clock at night? And mm-hmm. sometimes it'd be midnight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
And then the next morning, you got up and there were the cows come out before mm-hmm. you went out at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, but at that time there were not as many cows.
Yeah.
Ever, what, down to about...
Well, how long in the season did you come with us? Mm-hmm. All summer long?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd always have an acre open.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to plant. I'd just keep it worked, and I'd just mm-hmm. put in 100 rows every week. Just keep going.
You had a planter then?
Yeah.
The same, he used the same planter as the cultivator. It was the same, the three
just
rows.
Just a handful. Mm-hmm. Have an outfit with a seeder on it, and they have one with a hole on it.
Now, would you buy the seed, or would you save the seed?
Oh, yeah, buy the seed with everything on it. Yeah, of course, they were doing a lot of different varieties mm-hmm. at that time, and you know, some of them were too good. But of course, the real problem in those days was that if you buy fertilizer, pay your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to really go plant some lettuce sometime. An open field and go out commercially where I could use all the fertilizer to see what I can do. Uh-huh.
But and at that time too, there were 3 dozen that were packaged to a crate. And during the winter, he would go to the groceries and pick up these wooden crates and store them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then those had to be and so they had to be cut so that there were some of those outside leaves on.
Yeah.
You know, that barn, the picture of moving, I fill that up with crates mm-hmm. in the wintertime. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, I remember I used to have a strawberry crate, Rob, and I'd go around and pick up strawberry crates,
yeah.
California crates all through April and May. That might be a little hard to fill them.
Well, so, and if you cut ahead too short, you know, well, then you couldn't use that. Like what we get now in the groceries, why? There just were, we had to have all these extra outside leaves on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the home there, Clayton's home, my lettuce was a salad every meal.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Every meal was a lettuce salad. And best foods,
Something to burn.
And it was excellent. And it was those short heads that, of course, got used up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sure.
But there was one, he would take them up to the store also. And they sold them for just as much as if they'd gotten them from Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't
mm-hmm.
give the people mm-hmm. the benefits
mm-hmm.
oh, no.
of the cheaper prices.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Even in those days,
yeah.
they didn't
yeah.
have the cheaper prices.
Back in the 30s when, now Zero was the one that raised the family after your mother died.
Yeah.
And it was, like all farm families, you had a big breakfast and then the big dinner at midday and then...
Yeah, everything.
Can you remember what you ate typically for each of the three meals?
Oh, bacon, eggs, or whatever, ham,
mm-hmm.
my own cured ham and potatoes. And,
for breakfast? Yeah.
And then lunch, we'd have potatoes and gravy and any form. Mm-hmm. And dinner, same thing.
Yeah.
Before you were burning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And a lot of vegetables.
Oh, yeah. She had, and then, always had carrots and beets, yeah, and turnips and whatever.
And Zira.
The garden, the yeah, family garden plot was down in the, down
oh,
in
yeah,
the,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, oh, I see. Yeah.
And
oh,
so yeah, it was, it got.
Oh, it was going to turn you.
Yeah.
You really, of course, I remember Mom taking us boys down there, Wolver and I, when I was 8, Wolver 7, we were eating onions from then on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, go to the garden, pick, when you come home, mm-hmm, out of the field.
Yeah. And then Jerry probably can, as much as she could.
Oh, yes, yes, we can from that garden, mm-hmm, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you had your own meat, you had your own herd.
Well, and at that time, they did have the lockers uptown.
Yeah, right over at Hoxha's.
Well, when did Hoxha's have that meat locker? When did he get a locker? When did he get the freezing? He had that real early?
Early, yeah. But that, I would have been in the 36 or something, mm-hmm, earlier than that.
Mm-hmm. And that was wonderful because when I would go grocery shopping, I would go to the locker, mm-hmm, and I'd pick up, you know, mm-hmm, just one of everything.
Yeah.
And that's what you ate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just had a variety of whatever was in the locker.
Right. Phyllis, like I said, remember that. In those days, you just hung your key on a hook right out there so anybody could help and steal somebody else's key, but you didn't have
but nobody did.
But nobody did. You just, I mean, it's a matter of trust.
Yes, that is right. I forgot. Mm-hmm. I forgot to do it.
Just, it hit me just as long as I could just see it.
It was, of course, it was so cold in there, you just dashed in there. Yeah. How would you go and dashed out, hoping that the door would be somehow closed behind you?
Oh,
couldn't get out.
That fear.
Well, so you don't remember a time before the lockers? Well, at home, sure, I'm sure Clayton does too. We canned beef.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed to me it was 3 hours, I think. It was at 3 hours that you boiled it.
Mm.
And we had these big, that's where you see those big copper boilers were used for canning.
Yeah, sure.
And then the ham was smoked and bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was put in a salt brine until the egg floated.
Oh.
And,
interesting.
And,
so the raw egg
floated? I think there was saltpeter that was used somewhere in the process. My mother did it.
Now, what do you mean by the egg floated? That, then it was salty enough?
That was, and then it would be salty enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I don't know how long this was put in this brine. But then after that, then it was smoked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was in that picture, is a smokehouse.
Oh, that's
the,
what
the
that
one,
is.
The one by the chestnut tree, that's the smokehouse.
The chestnut tree is in the access over there. That's that tree.
Yeah,
mm.
This one.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I see.
That's
oh,
the smokehouse.
Okay. Oh, let me write that down. Can you write that
And you
that
see,
down?
Okay. There's a,
and that,
and
that's
now
the
I see
chestnut
a
tree
hole
that
right
grows
there.
There.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, that's
look at this.
Was and that? Now this is the chicken house that's right there. That's
yeah.
That's out here, yeah.
Okay, that's the chestnut
tree.
Oh, this
is the chicken house.
And this is still there? The chicken house is still. I
what?
See.
What?
Out
yeah,
here, the chicken
yeah,
house.
Chicken house.
Oh, got okay. moved.
Oh, I see. Got moved. Yeah, right.
And anyway, then it was smoked, and then. With the wood stoves, why that, I don't remember the bacon so much, but I remember the ham would be put in some water on the back of the stove and so that to get the salt out of it.
Oh yeah,
would
you call it parboiling?
Or
do you soak it in water?
Well, it was on the back,
mm-hmm.
so it would have heat to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if that happened to the bacon or not, but it seemed, as I remember, the bacon was pretty salty. And at our home, too, we had you had meat for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You had
really
meat three meals a day.
Meals a day, yeah.
And, but you had meat for breakfast, mm-hmm. and I think it seems to me we always had hot cereal plus
mm-hmm.
hot bread of some
hot bread,
kind.
Yeah.
Muffins or pancakes
mm-hmm.
or...
Mm-hmm.
or some kind of biscuits, some kind of hot bread.
Yeah, they don't know if anybody gets fat.
No, they didn't get fat. No, they weren't.
People weren't fat like they are now?
No, because they
and they walked long places?
That's right.
Well, they had, they, you know, I mean, we worked.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody worked.
Yeah, you take, take them walk down those roads down there. Think how many,
mm-hmm. how many miles you went in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
Packing crates.
Yeah.
Oh, the canning. Let's go back to the canning and the meat. Do you cook it first or do you cold pack it? Raw pack it in?
Raw packed, and then of course there was salt that was put on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember, I think that probably was done in the quart jars. I don't remember doing, I'm not sure whether we did meat in half gallons.
I remember putting the smoke in the smokehouse,
getting the fire going. So
now how would you do that? What would you burn that with?
You put
wet wood?
No, most important is that you go in there and salt that stuff down,
mm-hmm.
and trim it, take the bone out, and then mm-hmm. put out one joint,
mm-hmm.
and then you put salt on that to keep working it to a certain point. Then you take and rather than put a needle in and put it through the hock and hang them up and start smoking. And we used to.
And you had the little fire just inside the smokehouse?
Yeah,
at the base of it,
down
yeah.
at the bottom. Uh-huh.
You get it going, but
and then...
out,
that's your upper bulk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you just hold it in there.
Yeah, because that hold is there.
Mm-hmm.
With the top,
oh, yeah,
see that
yeah.
hole?
Yeah.
Well,
we had a smokehouse on our farm. It's the farm tree.
And then
you kind of the people to use it?
No.
Used by maple. Used by maple.
An apple.
Yeah, an apple. Any
Sherry, any of your fruit trees were wonderful for.
Now, would you get a fire started with kindling and paper and stuff to get it
yeah,
started and then put these things on it that wouldn't burn? They just smoke.
Well,
wet
just
wood.
Smoke.
Wet, fresh. Yeah. Fresh
and
fresh
and
yeah.
Just kept it.
Mm-hmm. And it, I don't know how many days, but it took quite a few days.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh.
So you ask about the canning.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there would be this layer of quart jars mm-hmm. for meat, and then there was a wooden. Piece with holes in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that you put
and
on top of
that. That you put on top of that, and then you put another.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I don't know how many days, but it took quite a few days.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh.
So you ask about the canning,
mm-hmm.
and so then there would be this layer of quart jars for meat, and then there was a wooden piece with holes in.
Yes, that
you put on top of that, and then you put another, then you put another layer of jar, because for to do for 3 hours, why?
So that it was high enough.
Your boilers,
yeah.
you were like that.
I see. So,
right,
yeah. Oh yeah. But
I think mostly those boilers were used for meat.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, our fruit we would do open kettle,
mm-hmm.
bring
mm-hmm.
it to a boil,
mm-hmm.
and that, and then put it in. And so we used half gallon jars
mm-hmm.
for fruit, but I don't remember. I can't remember. It seems to me we even did for meat, but I don't think I think we must not have.
Now for vegetables, you have to boil it ground.
You're saying,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
You see your acid in your fruit,
mm-hmm.
but,
yeah.
so you don't have to do that.
So meat for 3 hours and vegetables for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The meat was delicious.
Well,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It's like a savory
oh, yeah. The juice would thicken for gravy. And
mm-hmm. Now, did you put any water in it?
Yes, you'd put water in.
Did you fill it up with water then?
I'm not sure as to, you know, whether it was an inch or a half an inch from the top, because that part
mm-hmm.
is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Marine still can see, like it's so
oh,
really?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Oh, yeah.
I have taken it to, we've taken it to the cannery, and I would like to call and see, and now they open with the asparagus, and there's only one place that will do it now,
mm-hmm.
and see if they're still, it must be 2 years ago, or maybe that we canned our last, and
mm-hmm.
have a few cans down there, and I would like to get some stew meat and have it done because
mm-hmm.
it's wonderful. It is so tender
mm-hmm.
and it's so nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
And all your
and but don't you have to heat it for half an hour?
Not if we have it commercially done.
Oh, but I mean when you
well,
did
home
the old home
canning. Really?
Oh yes, you had to bring it,
yeah.
boil it for 20
vegetables
minutes. Vegetables and meat.
Oh.
Boil it for 20 minutes, yes, because people would get just even tasting
mm-hmm.
something.
They'd
get
lots of
yes.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't get that.
That would be in the paper.
Oh, you must.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she probably did the pressure cooker. If it's in the pressure cooker,
you don't have to.
I've been told now, I was concerned that they, because my tuna, and they said, oh, you still have to boil it for 20 minutes. But I thought if it was done in a pressure cooker, no, you didn't have to.
Yeah. I'm sure she would.
Probably, yeah. I just wonder how much food that could be left if you hand it and then heat it again before you eat it.
John?
Annie.
Who's here?
The feed store.
Feed store is right on the northbound lane of I-5, right in the and it was, I think it only operated about 3 or 4 years.
I see.
But it was, held a gun by her grandma for a while.
I see.
But then we used that for a lot of storage later.
So that was right on Nyberg Road?
Oh, yeah.
Which side, north or south?
South.
I see.
And so we sat there and we husked corn at it all the time.
Yeah. But it was just sort of where you sold things, though.
Now, did you sell just your own things, or were you a dealer?
No, it was the same. That was before camps came in, or after.
Oh, I see.
So, before
the feed store by the
brick store, yeah.
Oh. Now, did you sell dynamite?
No.
Who sold dynamite around here?
Well, that was usually out of Sherman. Mm-hmm. And that's the only place that I remember being there.
Did Edel sell dynamite?
I don't know.
Oh.
That's what did Hutch's name in, dynamite.
Oh, August?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I heard. Did you ever get a hold of him?
Yeah, I in fact, I didn't go by there on the way back.
Who?
Talked to Earl Edel.
Earl?
Yeah. Francis lives in Aurora now, and I'll give him some sure with her. Clarence, they're away from out of town for a month or so. And Joe Edel's name is still in the phone book, and I called their first thing with Heather, and he's been dead for 4 or 5 years, but they haven't taken the name out of the phone book yet.
Oh.
And I dialed the number to somebody else, and, you know, anyhow, I talked
probably
to
Earl's son.
No, because he said they just kept they kept the thing in the phone book. I don't know why. Anyhow, Earl.
What?
He's dead.
Jim's dead.
Yeah. Anyhow, Earl has he's going to call us because when they dismantled the building, I guess for the insurance going in, they found an old phone book. He didn't say from what year, but like it was like one
did
page or so.
He
saved it, and he's going to call him. So we're going to go over there at night now and get it.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And he's going to try to find some other stuff. I asked him about the sister's place, and he knew about it. They farmed it.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought he's going to check with his other cousins and see if he can't just make some information.
Mm,
so
good. Did you know anything about the sister's place, Peyton?
No.
It was up past my dad's place, you know, the Leverton family.
Yeah.
Well, the reason we're interested in it is that Blanche Durst has Duffy Hamilton's mother, has a painting from her grandmother or someone that says painted at the sister's school in Tualatin. So I've done a lot of research. So far I haven't found anything about his school.
We do know that it was
the sisters bought it from Billy Greenwood.
Yeah, sister's place. We always knew it.
My dad always called it too.
No time that we had any association.
Yeah.
Wilbur worked for Hirsch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He put in all the posts and fence line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So did this Hirsch buy it from the sisters?
I guess so. I don't know.
Because I remember it being called the Hirsch place, too, or Hirsch.
But he said that Bill Wampler lived there.
I imagine. It's hard. They're trying to run together.
Yeah.
Did he have any pictures of the buses, early buses?
Didn't ask him about that. Hmm.
Because I asked him some time ago.
Hmm. Were there only truckers?
Truckers one.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been wonderful.
It has been. It's tremendous. Now, you marked down how many we've got here?
Yeah, just to make note of that.
How long do you anticipate having this?
I've got down that we have 9. Yeah.
Do you have them back in 10 days?
Okay.
Shouldn't we, or will it be soon?
Well, it takes a while for them to make copies from the original. They have to go through the negative, make a negative, and take a picture of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes more than sometimes it takes a half or two.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just take them right over now and have copies made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.